Okay, world. Today's daf in Maseches Tzvachim brought to you from Eretz HaKedesh is daf Nun Tet, and we're holding at the bottom of Nun Chet Amud Beit. Let's remember what we're trying to figure out. We've been in the middle of the Mishnah, actually in Midot of all things, in Tamid of all things, and that has brought us into this sugya of where precisely the Mizbeach is located in the Azara in terms of its north-south positioning. And the reason that this was important was because of the what we originally got into was the Machlokas in our Mishnah about which part of the Mizbeach is Roi for Shchitas Kachin Kachin or for Shchitas Kachin Kalim. And originally we made the mistake of thinking that was a function of where the Mizbeach itself was located. And then we came to realize that actually, it's really not two separate issues. One has to do with the specific kedushas ha-mizbeach that the Torah granted to the mizbeach, and the other was just the kabbalah that Rabbi Yochanan had that the Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah happens to hold, not because of our Mishnah, but happens to hold that the mizbeach actually was a kulay b'tzofen. So we looked originally for a marker for that. And that's how we got the Mishnah in Tamid, which sounded like it was precisely working out according to that sheet in Rabbi Yossi. So then we said, well, maybe not. Maybe it would also work out according to the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda that the Mizbeach was Mimutza. We ran into a problem because that would require moving things six amot, not just four amot from the corner of the Mizbeach in order to get it to the doorway. And we said that we could work that out if we assumed that what we're talking about is the top of the Mizbeach and not including the Amma Yesod and the Amma Sofet. Okay, that was Rav Ada Bar Ava's approach versus the approach that Rav Zira had as trying to figure out the Mokar in Rav Yossi from that Mishnah. We have now a new approach today at the bottom of Amud Beis, which is Rav Shravia's approach. That it could, this is really a happy Rav Yossi Mishnah, because now we've got our third Rav Yossi. So Rav Shravia says, no, it's not Rav Yossi, who is Rav Yossi B'Chalavta. It's not Rav Yossi B'Yehuda, where we were talking about in the Mishnah. And there's a third Rav Yossi. Maybe this is Rav Yossi Haglili. So Rav Yossi Haglili says, as we see in the Braita, something that indicates that he would be the author of the Mishnah in Tamid. And this is moving to a new marker. Well, we never thought about this issue before. And that is, where does the Kiyor belong? So Rabbi Yossi really said, the Tani Rabbi Yossi really omerim, since it says in the Pasuk, V'natatata Kiyor Bein Oho Mo'ein Levein HaMizbeach, so the Torah says you have to put the Kiyor between the Ohel Moed and the Mizbeach, which is pretty clear, telling me that it's got to be, apparently, that directly, right? Okay, but it says, Ve'et Mizbach Ha'olah, which doesn't work out according to this, because it says, Ve'et Mizbach Ha'olah Sam Petach Mishkan Ohel Moed, which means that there's not the Kiyor in between the Petach Ohel Moed and the Mizbeach. So if I'm supposed to put the Kiyor between the Mizbeach and the Ohel Moed, but on the other hand, I'm supposed to have the Mizbeach at the Petach Ohel Moed, that means I can't put the Kiyor between the Petach Ohel Moed and the Mizbeach, right? So, but it still has to be between the Mizbeach and the Ohel Moed. Okay, so that limits me a little bit, because that means that there's 10 amos of the Petach that have to be kept clear from the Kiyor, and also, if you hold that the Kedusha of the Heichal and the Ulam is one thing, then when the Torah said Petach Ohel Moed, it would be referring to 20 Amos, which really limits things, because out of the 32 Amot of the Mizbeach, 20 of them are going to be taken up by the Petach Ohel Moed, and we can't put the Kiyor in that place. So, what did we do? Because since it says Mizbach Ohel Petach Ohel Moed, it means the Mizbeach belongs there, but not the Kiyor. Mizbeach bepetach ohel moed, velo Kiyor bepetach ohel moed. So then, what in the world did we do? So where does it belong? It belongs between the ulam and the mizbeach, not the door, but the ulam itself and the mizbeach. And it was somewhat to the south of the mizbeach. So what is the basis of that? It's mashul kimah klapei hadaron. It was a little bit to the south of the mizbeach itself. And for some reason, Rabbi Yossi Haglili does not hold that it belongs, what it should be, it belongs between the mizbeach and the heichal, or the ulam. Why does he say it was a little bit south of the mizbeach? In which case he understands that the meaning of the pasuk that talks about bein ulam and mizbeach doesn't mean directly, it means in that area, which is between the ulam and the mizbeach, but it's not literally. Now, why would that be? Mikasava. I mean, if he held that the mizbeach is bidaron, so then he's got lots of, remember, this is what we do all the time. First, we start with the opposite extreme, and then we see how much we would have to move the mizbeach towards the tzafon to make it work out. Okay, so we start as we usually do. Let's assume that the entire mizbeach was in the daron. How much would we have to move it? We try to analyze why it would come out to the daron mizbeach. Now, obviously, if the entire mizbeach is in the daron, it's ridiculous to say that we would have to move the kiyor south of the mizbeach, because, I mean, we're taking up 22 amas of the mizbeach. We've got 22 amas of the mizbeach left because we used 10 of them keneged ha-petach. I mean, you know, that leaves us tons of room to keep the pasuk kipshuto, put the mikiyor between the mizbeach and the wall of the ulam with the echel. I don't see what the problem is. So my kasav, so ikasav a kula mizbeach b'dorom koy. Then you could simply put it anywhere from the edge of the door to the echel, because the petach has to be clear. Okay, so from the southern door post, we should say, the mezuzah of the door to the south, then you've still got lots of mizbeach. And you could put it between the ulam and the mizbeach. And even if he would hold that, no, you got a very big door, because the ulam, the door to the ulam is 20 amos, which leaves you 10 amos from the midpoint of the door, not 5 amos. Fine. Even so, you've got plenty of room left if the entire mizbeach is on the south. So you'd still have plenty of space between the wall of the ulam past the door, going towards the south, and the actual bein ulam ulam mizbeach. Why do we take the pasuk and insist that, no, it doesn't mean, it means you have to take it south of the mizbeach? That makes no sense. Okay, so obviously, let's check that. Rabbi Yossi Haglili definitely does not hold that the entire mizbeach was bidorom. Okay, so then let's take the next Shita that we know, which was the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, and he said the Mizbeach was half and half. So maybe that's what Rabbi Yossi really had. Half of the Mizbeach was Bedorim, and half of the Mizbeach was Betzof. Would that explain why we have to pull the Kiyor a little bit to the south of Mizbeach? No. Because even if he held that, we could still put the Kiyor to the south of the doorway, because remember, we've got plenty of room since we're extending half of the mizbeach, and half of the mizbeach is 16 amos, right? So half of the mizbeach is from that midpoint on. Okay, so take off. How much you want to take off? The 5 amot to the south, we're taking off 5 out. There's 10 amot that we have to take out of the mizbeach. That's connected to the petach. I understand that. So 5 amot to the south leaves us plenty of room till the edge of the mizbeach, doesn't it? Because it was 16 from the midpoint. Take away 5, we've got 11. And even if you hold that the even if you hold that it's all considered to be one doorway. Okay, so then half of the doorway is 10. Take 10 off of the 16. There's still plenty of room to put it between the ulam and the mizbeach, right? So then, what's the problem? Must be And Rabbi Yossi agreed that he doesn't hold either of these options. The Mizbeach cannot be Bitzorim, Bedorim. The Mizbeach cannot be midway between Dorim Bitzofen, and it's got to be that the entire Mizbeach is Bitzofen. Okay, so then obviously the only part of the Mizbeach that would be Kineged, the doorway of the Heichal, would be the end of the Mizbeach. So then I can't put the Kior there. So it must be that I have to pull it away from the Mizbeach further south. And that way it'll be in the area that's called Bein Olam HaMizbeach. It's not literally Bein Olam HaMizbeach. It's in the space. If you draw a line from the Mizbeach, then it would be in that line and the Ulam. But of course, the obvious question is, wait a second. Who said that the Kior has to be in the south? Why don't we put the Kior in the north? So all it says is Bein Olam HaMizbeach, you know? So if that's the case, I mean, it's amazing. We got fixated since Rabbi Yossi really said, it's got to be pulled a little bit to the south. So we're trying to figure out like what. But I mean, the whole question is if you want to move everything to the north, so then just put the Kiyar between the actual Mizbeach, which lots of it was to the north of the doorway, and the Heichal. And then everything is perfect. So what's the problem over here? So why did we rule that out? We took it for granted that we can't put it to the north. So what are you going to say? That what? He holds Kedusha as Ulam Vehechal Chodin. There's still plenty of room, even if you have to take off the first 10 Amos. There's 22 Amos left, for heaven's sake. So put the Kiyar there. Why do you have to move it to the south? So I don't, the whole conversation here is based on something that we don't understand, that for some reason we're just assuming we don't have options to the north. Why is that? Because any way that I would put it to the north would still be Bein HaOlam VaMizbeach, even if you hold that the entire Mizbeach is in the north. So what am I missing over here? And, I mean, even if you could put it anywhere, Nukma Mikot Olam LaTzafon, which would be Bein HaOlam VaMizbeach. All right? So then it wouldn't be between the Heichal, but so what? You're telling me that it's all considered to be one Kedusha. This is the second question. So then I could put it anywhere, and that would be between the Heichal. Answers the Gemara, oh, you're missing a very important point. And that is that since it says, V'shachatoto al yerech ha-mizbeach, sofona lifnei Hashem. That was the mocker of the din of Tzafon, right? Which we learned out that was in the Eila. Well, that word Tzafona is an actually, just should have said Tzafon. What is Tzafona? Towards the Tzafon? But is this the Tzafon? So what that means is that it can be read also Tzafon Pana, meaning clear out the north. The northern part has to be clear of all kaling, which means nothing belongs there. That part has to be kept completely clean in order to provide the Tzafon area for the Shlita, which means you cannot put the Kiyor, which is a clean, you cannot put the Kiyor in the Tzafon anyway. So that area of Tzafon has to be kept clear of Kiyors. Okay, so our only option was the Darom. The only question was, why does it have to be south of the Mizbeach itself? Why can't it be between the area of the Mizbeach that's not facing the doorway of the Heichal or the Ulam? And now we answer that by saying the Mizbeach was entirely Bitzofen, and we don't have the option of putting the Kiyor there, therefore it had to be Bidorim, which means it wasn't really physically between the actual Mizbeach and the Heichal. It was between the line drawn from the Mizbeach, means in that area. That's called Bein HaOlam HaMizbeach. Okay, so that works out. So Fona means Ponui Bekelim. Okay, now it happens to be that we know Rabbi Yossi Aglili, now we prove it. Rabbi Yossi Aglili clearly holds the Mizbeach is Bitzofen, but there's also a very clear Mandi Omar that argues in Rabbi Yossi Aglili and holds that the Mizbeach, we already saw Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yuda, already, which were according to Rabbi Yochanan, right? But Mantan and the Polyglater of Yossi Aglili and holds that actually the entire Mizbeach is Bedorim. That was Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. I'll show you, because here's a brayta. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, that word safona, which we just learned means you can't put the kiyor safona, he has a very different interpretation. Yod safona means keep the tzafon panui, even from the mizbeach. Okay, so if you hold that the tzafon has to be totally panui, not just from something between the mizbeach, but the mizbeach itself can't be tzafon, so then that means she'a mizbeach panui miklum afilo min ha-mizbeach, in which case there's only one option, the mizbeach has to be bedorim, obviously. So it means that we have three shitot. Mizbeach is kulay bedorim, mizbeach is kulay betzafon, and mizbeach is mimutsa bein the tzafon vedorim. So far, precisely, that seems to be the way that our three shitas go. Okay, so we've got Rabbi Yossi, and we've got Rabbi Yehuda, and we have Rabbi Yossi Aglili, and we have Rabbi Yehuda ben Yaakov, and we have Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah, Aliba to Rabbi Yochanan, who said if the Mizbeach was made smaller, then the area underneath would be considered to be Doraim and Atzafen, according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, which means that he would be following this shita that we just spoke about, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Yaakov. Okay. Now, a different question, which is not directly a riot to our issue, but once we've raised the shilas about the Mizbeach, we also want to talk about the broader scope of these psukim that describe the Mizbeach. And therefore, we go to Rav. Rav said, if there was even the slightest notch in the Mizbeach, so something maybe fell on the Mizbeach and made a little bit of a scratch, and then if you would run your finger over it, and you're a sheichet, so you know how to run your thumb, you know, you'll feel every little pigam in the Mizbeach. If you can feel that pigam as a sheichet, and it catches your nail as you go up, then the whole Mizbeach is possible. And what's more, says Rav, that if there was a pigam in the Mizbeach, then every korban that you shechted during that time when it was pogrom is permanently pasul even after you fix it. Because once it's pasul, then that means that anything that you shechted over there would also lechora be pasul. Now, let's think about the issues that this involves. If we were talking about a behema that had been shechted before, and now you want to bring the dam, and all of a sudden an alarm goes out, the Mizbeach is nifsal, now you're not going to be able to bring that korban. That is the classic case of dichui, right? So dichui is certainly a universal svara, but there's a question about Balei Chaim being nidachim. Now, if you shechted it before, it's no longer Balei Chaim. So then it's classic dichui. There's only one element that may make it not classic dichui, and that element is, as we're going to discuss, the possibility of undichuing it, which is in your hands. And in this case, it's easy to undichui it. If you know how to fix the Mizbeach, you just quickly bring in somebody who's able to fix that Mizbeach, and you fix the Mizbeach. So that means that it wasn't really nidcha. It was just temporarily out of service, so to speak, temporarily out of service. There's the shita that holds that that's not called dichui. Then we've got another issue. That other issue is called, so again, there's the concept of dichui. There's a concept of a dichui where it's biyot cholatake. There's another concept called Baalei Chaim, or Baalei Chaim Nidachim or not. That's a machlokes, whether Baalei Chaim or Nidachim. And then there's yet another concept. Gavi, are you able to write with your magic wand? Let's see those sparks flying. And then, you may actually have all this from before, but let's just make sure. And then there's also the issue of whether did I talk about dichui meikara? No, that's what I want to talk. Okay, whether dichui meikara have a dichui, which means it's not that something was once ro'oi and now became possible. That's, again, that's classic dichui. But there's a machlokas about whether something that was not nitche, wasn't pushed away, it just never became kosher from the beginning. So what Rav is saying over here, that the kachim that were shechted after it became pasul, it is going to be pasul nonetheless. And he says that even though I wouldn't have known that from the normal din of dichui, because I'm talking about a case where you shechted it afterwards, and that would be dichui miikora, and what happened before was a balei chayim was still alive before I shechted it, so balei chayim einam nidachim. But in this case, it would be nidcha. And I had a pasuk to tell me that it's nidcha, even though it's biyadeinu to be metaken, and I can't remember the pasuk, darn it, but I know that I had a pasuk. Mikra ha'o biyadeinu v'shechachnu. I forgot the pasuk that I had based this din on, that the Torah specifically said that in this case, where the Mizbeach was nifkam, you're not going to be able to use those korbanos. Okay, so he was teaching this in his yeshiva. Nobody knew what the pasuk was. Now, Rav Kahana ultimately left the yeshiva of Rav, and he went to Eretz Yisrael, because Kisalik Rav Kahana Ashkechel Rav Shimon Bar Rebbe. So he finds Rebbe's son, Rebbe Shimon, who's saying over a din from Rebbe Shmuel Bar Rebbe Yossi, and he says that pasuk, and he said, oh, Baruch Hashem, I found the pasuk. And what he said was, Minayin lemizbeach shenivgam, shekol hakadoshim shenishchatu sham tzuvim. How do we know from the Torah that if there was a pegam in the mizbeach, that any korban that was there now becomes pasul if it was shechted there? Shenemar v'zavachta alav et olatecha ve'et shlamecha. Now that's why we're bringing this up here, because remember what was the basis of our Mishnah that said that the Mizbeach, the Machlokas, either that the Mizbeach is entirely kosher for either Kachet Kalim or Kachet Kachet, or the Mizbeach is kosher from the midpoint north for Kachet Kachet and otherwise for Kachet Kalim. The pasuk that we brought was this pasuk, that since it says, Vizavakta Alav, on the actual Mizbeach, you can check Olot and Shlamim, remember, so that was the Machlokas. Does it mean the whole Mizbeach is good for Olot and Shlamim? Or does it mean half is good for the Eila, which is Kodesh Kodashim, and therefore requires Safin, and half is Kodesh for Shlamim? That was the Machlokas in the Mishnah. You remember the whole discussion we had in the Gemara about, isn't it a Kavachomer, that if it's kosher for the Eila, it would definitely be kosher for the Shlamim? And we said, no, actually, it's not a Kavachomer, because maybe the Torah wanted to give extra space for the Eila, but Bashenke and the Shlomim, you've got wherever you want in the Azara, and even behind the Eich, you got plenty of room. Okay, so fine. That was the Mishnah. So the same pasuk we're bringing up over here, Lagabi, another Diyak. That's why we're bringing up this whole story. So the pasuk that Rav had forgotten apparently was this pasuk. V'zavachta alavet olatecha v'shlomecha. What is that supposed to mean? That you're actually supposed to be Mizavakta Alav? I mean, like, we read the pasuk, it says, you go there and go up to the Mizbeach and shecht on the Mizbeach. What does that mean? I have to shecht on the Mizbeach? I mean, obviously, I know that's not true. We just had all those psukim that tell me that we have the Mekomot for the Shlita throughout the Azara. And what then does the pasuk mean? V'fialavat Azodeach. What the pasuk is saying, you must go up to the Mizbeach. Mizavakta Alav. Point of Alav doesn't mean physically on it. Vizavakta Alav means based on it. So Vizavakta Alav, as long as that Mizbeach is there, Kishu Shalem, Velo Kishu Chaser. So Alav means basing your Shvita on the Shlemus of the Mizbeach. He heard that with Kana, and he said, oh my gosh, that's the Pasuk. Amazing. That's what Rav must have been referring to. That if you shechted after the Mizbeach was broken in some little way, But what would that mean if it's not shechted? What would that mean? That then when you fix it, you go ahead and you can actually use it, even though it was Kodesh before. But that doesn't bother me. Why? Because that is a dikhui of Baalei Chayim. Right? The fact that I made it Kodesh, something that's Kodesh will not be nitche while it's still alive. So that's why Rav said, I have a raya that dafke, if you shecht it after the Mizbeach was nifkam, since it says alav, then it's possible. But not if it had been Kodesh before. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says, no, I disagree. Even if it was Kodesh before, and now you can't bring it because the Mizbeach is nifkam, it's permanently nitche. And what's the machlokas? Rav savar ba'alei chayim einan nidachim. So according to Rav, it wouldn't matter that you couldn't bring this carbon after you were already makdash to the Mizbeach, because that's still while it's alive. And something that while it's alive, if there's a problem, we just wait till the problem is fixed, and then everything is fine. That's because Baalei Chayim Einam Nidachim. So my pasuk only refers, says Rav, to the case where it was not alive. I mean, you did the Shita. But if you had just did the Kedusha before the Mizbeach was Nifkam, that wouldn't be different. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan holds that Baalei Chayim are Nidachim. So even if it was Kodesh, and then it was Nidcha because I couldn't bring it to the Mizbeach, that would be enough of a reason to say it's permanently Nidcha, and it would have nothing to do with the Pasuk. That's simply the din of Dichui in general. Meisei. So we have a problem. It says in the Braita, Kol HaKodashim Shehayu Ad Shelo Nivneh HaMizbeach V'Acharkach Nivneh HaMizbeach Pisulim. What in the world? What is it referring to? Kol HaZvachim Shehayu? So what? We were bringing korbanos, and they didn't finish building the Beis HaMikdash, and then they built the Beis HaMikdash, it becomes possible. What are you talking about? Nivneh, why would it be possible? That's called dichui meikara. When you gave this korban, there was no Beis HaMikdash. That's not called dichui. Dichui is when something was once able to be used, and then something happened. But now I'm bringing a korban. I'm giving all of these animals to the Mizbeach. They're in the middle of building the second Beis HaMikdash at the time of Ezra. It took them maybe a month to finish the binyan. And you're telling me that it's possible after it's built? But it was never kosher because there never was a Mizbeach. So that doesn't make sense because, I mean, that's a question of dichui meikara. So then, I mean, how do we have this braita and everybody knows there's a big machlokas whether dichui meikara is dichui? No, that can't be what it's talking about. Okay, so what is it talking about? What it means is that any of the karbonis that were there before the Mizbeach was destroyed in the first Beis HaMikdash, they are pasul for bringing in the second Beis HaMikdash. That must be what it means. So a korban that was there, Ad Shelo Ne'aras HaMizbeach at the Churban, after it was built, then you can't bring them. Okay, so that was Nira V'Nitcha. I mean, come off it, man. What are you talking about? 70-year-old animals? I mean, what do you mean? You brought the korban before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Now, 70 years later, this animal is sort of hobbling in with a long white beard. How would you bring an animal after 70 years? I mean, even if theoretically the animal survived for the 70 years to rebuild the second Beis HaMikdash, it would not be kosher at that stage, because once it was already that old, we can ask Richie. Richie says, you know, once you get up there, you're too old to go on the Mizbeach. So there is, of course, a psul that we know, which is called Zokain. You know, once Richie got out of the problem of being worried about the Akedah, and he was, you know, first of all, he was able to keep his father's yard site, so his father wasn't going to do the Akedah. But at this point, he was already too old to go up there. He started to relax. That's when he started getting on that rocking chair and no longer nervous. But
doesn't pay to check me. There's not a lot of blood there.
Yeah. So the animal would be possible. Iskemu and Zokain is possible for the Mizbeach. That can't be what it means. Come on. let's get serious. So what is this Braita talking about?
It can't Richie, Richie was chayshus, it would be shualim yelchubo.
Barney has been thinking very toughly, you know. I've got to get something out of this. So, in any event, it's got to really, now that we understand the Braita can't be talking about the Churban. It means that something happened to Mizbeach. That's what it's okay. So it says, any korbanos that were there before the Pagam in the Mizbeach, and then the Mizbeach was Nifgam, they become Posel. And here it's not talking about that they were shechted. It's as if they were there, meaning they were Kodesh. But Rav said, as opposed to Rav Yochanan, Rav said that, no, that's not a problem because Baalei Chayim are Einam Nidachim. So that Machlokas, here, we have a right to sing like Rav Yochanan Beferish. No, says Rav, come on. You took a Braita. The Braita made no sense, right? Okay, so you started talking about the Braita, you got involved in Barnea's puns, you had the whole problem. How am I going to read this Braita properly? So once you're going to have to figure out what the Braita means, so maybe that part you have to fix also. You changed it to read Ad Shelo Nifgam, so re-change it to read not Shayusham, but Shenishchetusham. I don't know, obviously this was not a reliable Braita, because we're changing it at will, because we say, look, it's on the face of it, it's clearly not making any sense. Okay, so then fine. I don't have a problem with a Braita that makes any sense. Doesn't make any sense. I can fit it into my lotion too. Okay, fine. I understand. There's no problem for Rav from the Braita, but isn't there a stira in Rav himself? Didn't Rav Gittel quote Rav as saying that a Mizbeach HaZahav, that we're talking about over the Mizbeach HaPnimi, that it was Nekar. So we had to take it out. And now it's not ready yet to be replaced. And you have to do the Ketores. Where do you bring the Ketores? Bring the Ketores on the floor in the Mokom where the Mizbeach HaPnimi was. You could bring the Ketores. So now, that seems to imply, I mean, assuming that the dinim of the mizbechot, bifnim, and bechutz are similar, that seems to imply that the physical mizbeach doesn't have to be there. You're saying, you learn from the pasuk that there's no choice if it's not a love, meaning based on its presence. Here we see the presence is not important. We simply put the Torahs down on the ground where the mizbeach was, and that is the same as putting on the Mizbeach. So how could Rav say that if there was some tiny thing wrong with the Mizbeach, everything is possible? Even you took away the entire Mizbeach, you still have the floor option, so it's not Nitcheh at all. So what's going on? Now, Rav already explained that in a different area, but it applies here too. Remember that according to Rabbi Yehuda, we'll see what it's referring to in a minute, that Rabbi Yehuda was made up, that when it comes to dam, not dam, when it comes to korbanos is one thing, but the zrikas hadam, by definition, requires an actual physical presence of the mizbeach. And the mizbeach is two completely different things. The predatory aspect of the mizbeach is in terms of blood. We've seen this all along in discussing whether you could have Shvicha Shirayim in the area of Yehuda and why there was no Yisod and so on. That's all about Dam, and that's the predation. As far as everything else is concerned, eating, meaning the Achilas and Mizbeach, which is the Akrova, that's something else. That doesn't require a Mizbeach. You're right. That's good enough on the floor. But for Dam, you actually have to have the Toreif, and that is the Mizbeach itself. Remember the story that we had in Yuma of the woman from Bilga that kicked at the Mizbeach and said, "Wolf, wolf, Lucas, Lucas, enough blood. You're stealing all the money from Klal Yisrael." Okay, so she really saw that Mizbeach as a crouching wolf, right? Anyway, what are we referring to, by the way, over here? Reb Yehuda, which Reb Yehuda? Who? What? My Reb Yehuda, the Tanya. This is a beautiful discussion of the gradations, what happened between the time of the Mizbeach that Moshe Rabbeinu built and the Mizbeach that Shlomo HaMelech built to take the place of that Mizbeach. It was not all a one-time thing. Initially, the Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu remained actually usable, and the Esh Min HaShamayim was there until gradually everything moved over. So it started with the Pasuk, Vayomahu, Kidash HaMelech Etoch HaChatzer. For some reason, that on the day of the Chanukas HaMizbeach in the Binyan of Shlomo HaMelech, that was necessary to make the actual Chotzer Kodesh. Why? Because the Mizbeach HaNechoshet, Asher Lifnei Hashem, that Mizbeach HaNechoshet, the pastor is referring to the actual Mizbeach HaNechoshet that was still in use, was too small. There was no way to bring all of those karbonas on that day. Now, on that day, there was an enormous number of karbonas. I'm going to be medayik in the, we'll read actually in the pasuk in a moment. And there was no way that we could bring 142,000 karbonas, which is what ends up being between the Boker and the Tzon, that Shlomo HaMelech brought on that day. So he needed place to be able to burn the Emurim. Where is he going to burn so many Emurim? So therefore, and Bosa, because these were all Olois. So he needed to make the actual floor of the Azorah Kadesh so that you could simply build fires across the entire Azorah, and you could burn the Bosa of the Ayla on those fires. So Rabbi Yehuda says that means exactly what it says. It was too small. There was no physical way that you could fit in so many korbanos and have them be burned because you can't burn it quickly enough. Amar Rabbi Yossi, wait a minute. That is really not the case. Because, I mean, if you figure out how many korbanos used to be brought before you were mekadesh the floor of the Azorah? It said, "Beferish elef olot yalesh Shlomo al hamizbeach ahu." So, before it was time to build the mizbeach in the Beis Hamikdash, this was still years before they even built the Beis Hamikdash, much less the Chanukah. So, it says that Shlomo HaMelech would bring 1,000 korbanos a day, and that was on the Mizbeach HaNechoshes that Moshe Rabbeinu had made. That was referring to the Mizbeach in Givon. So it says over there, Vayelech HaMelech Givona, Mizbeach Shom, Yihi HaBama HaGadola, Elef olot yaleh Shlomo al Mizbeach ahu. Now look, says Rabbi Yossi, for heaven's sakes, how big was that Mizbeach? We're going to see that whatever the size is of that Mizbeach, if you could bring 1,000 olot on that Mizbeach, then that would mean you would need 142 times capacity in order to get 142,000, which was the number of korbanos, okay? So if you make a simple cheshbon, times Rabbi Yossi to Rabbi Yehuda, you will see, do your math, and you'll see that there's no problem at all. Because, look, let's take a look at how many korbanos we need to bring. Ve'ilu bebeit olamim, on that day of the Chanukah Samizbeach, it says, Vayizbach Shlomo et zevach ha-shlomim, Asher Zavach LaHashem. So it says, you needed, it says over there, he brought Bakar, Esrim Ushnayim Elef, Vitzon, Me'a Me'esrim Elef, Vayechan Chorot Beit Hashem. So that's 142,000 altogether. 120,000 Tzon, and an additional 22,000 Bakar. That's a famous number, of course, if you think about it, the 22,000, which was connected a lot of things. It was connected the machanos of the Malachim that came down, the Degolim, and it was connected the Alfei Rivavot, so that's the Rivavot Alfei Yisrael, and that's the exactly 22,000, and that's the minimum number, like the Gemara says, in Ashkina Shora, Pachot, Mesr Mishnayim Elef. Okay, so that was that number, was the Bakar, and then there was another 120,000 song. So that means you needed to be able, the capacity of the Mizbeach that Shlomo needed was 142 times the capacity of the Mizbeach HaNechoshes, which was what he used in Givon, right? Okay, figure it out. If you make a cheshbon of the prorated area per square amma, because you're starting with that's one square amma, so how much do you need to have? You need to have 142 square amot, because on that one amma that you're left with on the Mizbeach, because remember, you've got to take off of the top of the Mizbeach, you've got to take off the Kronot, and you've got to take off the Mokom Hiluch HaKohanim. The Mizbeach that Moshe Rabbeinu made, it says Beferish in the Pasuk, was 5 amot, right? So it's a 5 amot square. Okay, now take off one amma on each side for the Kronot, all right, and take off another amma on each side for the Mokom Hiluch HaKohanim. You have to take off 4 ammas, that means 2 on one side, 2 on each side. So what are you left with? 1 square amma in the middle. So that means 1 square amma, the capacity of each amma is 1,000 korbanos. So that would mean, obviously, this is only possible because the Esh Min HaShemayim was working. We'll talk about later what happens when there's no Esh Min HaShemayim inside. Then you're not able to burn anything like this. But this was magic. So per amma, you could burn 1,000 olot in the day. Okay. Now, if that's the case, if you prorate it, kishata magia lecheshbon olot, uleminyan amot, you end up with much more than the capacity that you require over here, because the area of the Mizbeach of Shlomo HaMelech was 20 amos by 20 amos. This is Rabbi Yossi Shita Bechlal that he goes through in Midos, which means the area of actual burning, once you take off the area of the Am Yesod and the Am Sovev and the Koronos and the Mokom Hiluch HaKohanim, you're still left with 20 amas by 20 amas, and that gives you 400 square amas, 20 times 20. 400 should allow you to burn 400,000 olot, and he only needed to burn 142,000 olot. So what are you saying? There was no room. There was plenty of room. You're saying, it can't possibly mean that they burnt all the korbanos on the floor. That's not the point. So then why does it say it's even bigger, much more capacity than you needed? So Elamau Katan Meachil, it was too small, and therefore we're replacing it with the floor. That's not what it means. It means we want to say this in a nice way. Now, Shlomo HaMelech is basically trying to replace Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbeach. That's like a big slap in the face, you know? I mean, wow, this was like the original. Who's going to replace Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbeach? So, you know what you say when you don't want to say that something was nifsal, it's not good enough. So you say, you know, it's the same thing that you say. You want to talk about somebody that something happened to him, you know, and it's not pleasant to discuss what happened to him and why he can't do his job anymore. So you say, oh, Ploni Nanasu, Pasul Avoda, that coin, he's too small to get the work done. You know, because you have to be normal size. Doesn't mean that he's literally a midget, obviously. It just means he's too small for the job. Meaning, whatever it is, don't ask any questions. We have to replace. That's all that it means. Doesn't mean literally was too small and that you needed to make the floor kodesh. That's absurd. And making the floor kodesh, we'll explain later on, doesn't mean you made it kodesh to bring korbanos on. It means that you were made that area where the Mizbeach was going to be put. You made that area, you gave it the Kedushas HaMizbeach so you could put the Mizbeach on it. That's all that it means. So anyway, how would Rabbi Yehuda Answer. I mean, seems Rabbi Yossi is doing simple math. What does Rabbi Yehuda say? Because Rabbi Yehuda is going according to his shita. And Rabbi Yehuda learns that pasuk does not mean what you think it means. It does not mean that the Mizbeach was 5 amot total. It was much bigger than that. He learns that the Mizbeach Asam Moshe was gadol hayah, wasn't 1 square amot. Because, as it says, the Machlokas, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yehuda, it speaks out the Farish and the Bright of what the Machlokas actually is. The Mizbeach Katanya. Chamesh amot orech, v'chamesh amot rochav, that the Pasuk says, v'yasita ta mizbeach atzei shitim. Chamesh amot orech, v'chamesh amot rochav, listen to the word, revuah iya mizbeach. V'shalosh amot kamat komato. That's the Pasuk. So, Rabbi Yossi says, yep, means exactly what it says. It's giving you the precise measurements. No problema. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. You're ignoring the word Ravua. I mean, you know, it's pretty reasonable to say that if something is 5 amot on each side, then it's a square. I challenge you to tell me it's not Ravua. Okay, so it says this word Ravua over here by Moshe Rabbeinu. But if you take a look at the Psukim of Yechezkel, where the Malach is describing all of this, the Beis HaMikdash, he's taking Yechezkel around on the temple tour, the original temple tour, and it says over there that Ha'ariel was Shtemesrei Orech, Shtemesrei Rochav, Ravua El Arba'at Riva'av. Now, what does that mean over there? It doesn't mean that the whole Mizbeach was Shtemesrei. It means that there's 4 squares of 12 by 12, that if you start at the middle, at every side, is going to be 12 by 12, no matter what direction you go. That's what it's saying. And that's Ravua al Arbat Riva'av. So then that means that the actual measurement was 4 times, in terms of the area, the actual area was 4 times the 12 by 12, and it was actually 24 by 24. That's what Yechezkel was measuring. So, and that, of course, is the measurement of the actual mokum of the burning of the Mizbeach. So, just like over there, the Ravua in Yechezkel means you're starting at the center, and then you're going in each direction, 12. The same thing is true over here when it says it was Chamesh al Chamesh. Ravua means it was actually 10 by 10, and the chamesh means from the midpoint, it would be me'emtza ito, it would be chamesh al chamesh, in every direction. Afkan, me'emtza ito hayam odeit. So that means that the Mizbeach of Moshe was actually 10 by 10, not 5 by 5. So then that means if we take out the 2 amot on all sides, one of them being for the kronot, and one of them being for the mokum hiluch hakohanim, because of the last time that Barnea burned his tozis, they had to move it over to the precise middle. Remember, the Barnea gets confused sometimes about going right or going left. So because of that, we were left only with 6 by 6, not 10 by 10. But 6 by 6 is a lot bigger than 1 by 1. And actually, it's if you had 1,000 korbanos, according to Rabbi Yehuda, on the 6 by 6, you could only get about 10,000, 11,000 korbanos on the area of the 400, right? Because, I mean, it's like 36 at the 400 is like 11, right? So there's no way you could only get 11 times as much. That's not going to get you up to 142,000. So it works out very well. Aliba to Rabbi Yehuda, he did the math, but he did the math according to how he understood the pasuk based on Yechezkel. So then that would give us a 6 by 6 burning area, and he only used that for 1,000. There's no way to fit 142,000 on a 400 square amot Mizbeach top. And therefore, I understand that it means exactly what it said. The Mizbeach was too small, and he therefore had to, when it says the Mizbeach the original Mizbeach, he meant the original Mizbeach that he had already built to take the place of the Mizbeach HaNechoshet. He's calling it the Mizbeach HaNechoshet because that was the current version of the Mizbeach HaNechoshet. So the Mizbeach that Shlomo, I myself, had built the Mizbeach HaNechoshet, obviously it wasn't built of the Choshet anymore, it was actually Mizbeach HaVanim, but we call that the Mizbeach HaNechoshet that takes that place. Okay, so now we understand how everything works. And how do we know that Yechezkel was shown the measurements from the midpoint? Well, look at the pasuk, Dichtiv. Ve'ariel shteim esrei lekol ruach. You say it's shteim esrei lekol ruach. Ho'eino ela shteim esrei al shteim esrei. No, it says el arba'at riva'av, to all four quadrants. So then the lamed shemi emtza yamodeh. Okay, so what does Rabbi Yossi do with that? I mean, Rabbi Yossi's claiming it's Dvorim Kichtava and the whole Mizbeach was only 5x5. So why does it say Ravua? What is the Gzeirah Shavah there for? Rabbi Yossi, he says, yes, you're right, there's a Gzeirah Shavah. But that was not referring to the width and the length. It was referring to the height. Because there's another machlok. It's wonderful to see all of the ways in which the relationship of the Mishkan to the Binyan Beis HaMikdash actually come out, especially utilizing the data from the Binyan HaOsid, which is what it was that Yechezkel was being shown. This is like the one place where we put together all of the various Lashonos and all of the various measurements. It's very, very exciting to see how it is that the different Shitas measure the appropriate, the relative sizes of the various Kalim. So now, what is Rabbi Yossi? Rabbi Yossi says, because look, when it said that the Mizbeach HaChitzai, it was talking originally about the Mizbeach HaNechoshet. So it said that the Mizbeach was 5x5x3, the Shalosh Amot Komato. So Rabbi Yossi says, that means exactly what it says. Dvarim Kechtavan, that's the exact measurement. So that means that the top, the burning platform of the Mizbeach, not including the Karnota Mizbeach, but the burning platform of the Mizbeach was 3 amos up from the ground. Okay? That's what I hold. So that's what Rav Yehuda holds. Dvarim Kechtavan. Rav Yossi says, actually, the Ravua that it's referring to in Yechezkel has to be understood here, because here it says Ravua, like we just said, of the Mizbeach of Nechoshet, and it says also in Yechezkel, Ravua. So just like Malahala, he's making the Gezeirah Shavah, and he's talking about the Ravua in terms not of Yechezkel yet, but of the Gezeirah Shavah to the Mizbeach HaNechoshet, the Mizbeach HaZahav. So what does it say about the Mizbeach HaZahav? Ama Orko, Ama Rachbo, Ravua, Va'amatayim Komato. So the Amatayim Komato means it was twice as high as it was wide and long, right? Then that's what it's coming to tell me. So just like Legabi the Mizbeach HaZahav, it's double the height of its length and width. Malan V'lepishayim Korko. Here too, by the Mizbeach HaChitzon, it has to be double. So since the length and the width was Chamesh Amos, which was my Shita there, the height of the Mizbeach was actually 10 Amos, even of the Mizbeach HaNechoshet, which is the same height that becomes permanently the Gova of the Mizbeach, Le'osid Lavo, as well in Shlomo's Beis HaMikdash. Okay, says Rabbi Yehuda, come on, Rabbi Yossi, do you realize how ridiculous that is? I mean, just in practical terms. You're claiming the Mizbeach is 10 amos high. Okay, so then that means that a Kohen who's standing on the Mizbeach and he's doing the Sreifa of the Emurim and the Basra Ayla on the Mizbeach, everybody, I mean, it's just the whole picture is hilarious. They've got this fancy Mishkan and they have these beautiful curtains all around the Mishkan, you know, and you're looking at this very impressive Mishkan. And then on top of that, top of all the curtains, because it says that the curtains were only 5 amos high. So on top of those curtains, you've got this Mizbeach's top sticking out, and a guy's on top doing the Avodah, and everybody sees everything that he does from all around. And that's like a spotlight on the, like, what is this, a stage? We're putting the Kohen, instead of the tzias of the Kelayim, we're putting the Kohen in the highlight that everybody can see him from all around. The curtains define a stage, and now the Kohen is on top of the stage. I mean, this is an absurd picture. I can't prove to you that it's wrong, but I mean, come on, anybody with brains and taste has got to realize that that is a simple violation of like everything that a person would expect in an important building like the Mishkan, right? So how could it possibly mean that the Mizbeach is sticking up above everything else? It's absurd. It's absurd. So, Omar Le Rabbi Yehuda, how could you believe such nonsensical things? Because since it says, Orach HaChatzer Mea Ba'ama, V'Koma Chamesh Amot, so it was only 5 Amot high, the whole Chatzer. So now what you're saying is that the Kohen is standing on the Mizbeach, and he's holding the Bosser of the Eila, and everybody's looking all around, and everybody sees him from all over. V'Kol Ha'am Ro'im Oto Mibachutz, and the Kelayim were not actually curtains for Tznias, they were like the stage underpinnings, you know. There's the coin. It's just silly. I can't believe it. Says Rabbi Yossi, you're absolutely right. Your data is wrong. Amar lo, Rabbi Yossi, doesn't it say that Kal'eya Chatzer, that Masach Petach Shara Chatzer, Asher Mishkan V'Mizbeach Saviv, were actually, so those curtains of the chatzer and of the area that you enter in, and that goes around what? The Mishkan and the Mizbeach. Why are you measuring in terms of Mishkan and the Mizbeach to tell you that both of them were the same height? They are meant to surround two things of Eser Amos. We know the Mishkan was Eser Amos. It gives the measurements of the Karshea Mishkan. It says Beferish in the Torah, Eser Amos. There's no way to get out of that. So what's your problem? If the Mizbeach and the Mishkan are the same height, so fine. That's a given. Af Mizbeach as Amo. Now, as far as your problem of, well, the curtains wouldn't have covered it, you're wrong. The curtains weren't 5 Amot high. The curtains were 15 Amot high. They were 5 Amot higher than the Mishkan and the Mizbeach, which completely covered, obviously, the Kohen that's standing there and so on. So there's no problem. And you can see that from the Pasuk, because what does it say? It says, Bedavka, Kaloim Chamesh Esrei Ama El Hakatef. Now, we, of course, don't read the Pasuk like that at all. We read that the meaning of that Pasuk is 15 Amot on each Katef. If you're looking at the front of the Chatzer, so you had a total of 30 Amos of Kilayim in width, of Kilayim, of width, and then 20 Amot, which was the extension, that was the doorway, and that was a separate 20. So you had 15, 15, it's 30, plus the 20 beautiful curtain for the entrance where you came in by the side, which gives you 50, which of course was the total width of the Chatzer HaMishkan, was 100 long, 50 wide, separated into two parts of 50 by 50, and the Mishkan was on the beginning of the inner part of the second 50. As you went in, the Chatzer was the 50 by 50 in front of the Mishkan. It's not talking about height, but Rabbi Yossi learns it's talking about height. It refers to the shoulders, so the shoulders is the height. So then why does it say 5 Amot, that you only make it 5 Amot high? That means 5 Amot higher than. That's the pshat. Misfat HaMizbeach V'lamala, from the top of the Mizbeach up, it was 5 Amot higher. Because the Mizbeach was 10, and the Katef ala Katef is 15, and that gives us 5 left over from the 10 to make the 15. So therefore, why did the Torah say Shalosh Amot Kamato? Shalosh Amot Kamato meant from the Sovev on the Mizbeach. Now, there wasn't really a Sovev, but remember that there was the Karkova Mizbeach at the Mizbeach and Achoshes, which was Kineged as Sovev, and that was 6 Amos from the Karka, and then you got 9 Amos from the karka to the top of the mizbeach. Plus, you had one amah for the keren, total of 10 amot. So it's the equivalent of the soveiv. So we use the word soveiv. That karkov amizbeach is the equivalent of the soveiv. So from the bottom of the karkov up, it's essentially a soveiv. It's more like a decorative soveiv. You can actually stand on it, but it was a decorative soveiv. And the question of Rabbi Yehuda says, no, this Gezeirah Shav is referring to the actual Rochav, not the Gova, and it's the reference to the Mizbeach in Yecheskel and not the Mizbeach HaZohar. So now we have a understanding of the Machlokas between these two Shitas. And tomorrow, we'll talk about what it is that Rabbi Yehuda holds about the Gova of the Kla'im and how he gets out of his own problems